grab your Bibles and quickly open to Romans chapter 13. As you find there, I'm going to quickly bring you up to date on what happened last week. I'm kind of been trying to finish a series called The Forgotten Virtues, and we looked at some weird things like the virtue of confrontation, the virtue of moderation, and then we looked at this odd one last week, the virtue of submission. It may not be a big virtue in our community, in our American individualistic, you know, power-dressed kind of society, but scripturally, how to submit and when to submit is a very God-ordained, God-pleasing act of worship. So we looked at Romans chapter 13, last week, when Paul addresses this subject as he's writing a letter to the early church in the imperial city of Rome. He gives 4 points, and I'm not going to read the whole passage, but his 4 points were this. The first one was he wanted you to understand that God establishes authority, that the concept behind authority is not some person trying to control you in some evil way that we put people down, that God has established the idea of authority in our lives. I think whether it's government, whether it's in a family, whether it's in workplace, the concept of authority is a godly concept. So let that kind of already tweak the way that we tend to always want to push against those in authority. Maybe it'll help us deal with it a little better if we understand, wow, you know what? God ordained this concept, that the policeman telling me to pull over, this concept is a God-ordained concept. So, pull over and smile. The second thing he wanted us to see was that it's the way that God has ordained for life to happen in a good way. In chapter 13, he says this. He says, it is for your good. So not only is it a God idea, but secondly, let's understand that it really is for your good. I know if you're like Hope, you may not like to obey the speed limit. No, I'm just kidding. It's me. You may be like me. You want to go a little faster. And you're like, you see that sign. You're like, come on, can you be serious? 65 going through, you know, downtown San Diego. But would we really want to live in a society where there were no traffic laws? And if you are going to say yes, then tell me before you get on the road. I mean, we all understand that as restrictive as they can seem, literally, thank God that there are laws. I often think when I'm like barreling down one of those two-lane roads, that we are traveling, what, 50 miles an hour at each other, separated by feet? I mean, life would be over like, bam! You know why? We have all agreed to be under authority and obey the rules. So authority is a God thing, too. It's the way that God ordained for society to be structured, for productivity to happen in a workplace. You must have a boss and someone that's over you. It's just the way it works. Three, he also said, understand that authority shouldn't bother you if you're being good, but it is given to handle those that err. So understand that while Christ calls you personally to be willing to be wronged, okay, if they slap you, turn the cheek, he says, but don't take that's the way society is to go. I mean, if they come and they bring guns over into your country and they start killing people, you don't have to be like, Jesus wants us just to lay over and play dead because that's what he said in the Sermon on the Mount. Romans 13 makes it really clear. No, you personally need to forgive and love people, but the state needs to have the sword and handle it when people are erring. That's just plain what he says. And the fourth thing we saw in chapter 13 last week was this. That really, good law, good authority is really just a rubber stamp already what the conscience, the human moral law, is telling us. And I think that's going to lead into what we're going to talk about tonight. His point was this. You should obey the law not just because it's God ordained, not just because it's the way God wants to govern society, not just because it punishes the bad, but you should want to obey authority just because good authority is just telling you to do what you know you should be doing. You shouldn't murder folk. You shouldn't take other folks' stuff. You shouldn't cuss people out and cause a brawl in public. So his point was good authority, and remember that this, those of you in positions of authority, good authority is just asking that you do the right thing. So he's saying, he ends up this passage saying, so just for your conscience sake, even if you got a problem with authority, obey authority. Now, what I told you we're going to look at quickly tonight was this. Are there times that you don't obey authority? Yes. Are there times that you have the right to say to authority, I'm not going to do what you say to do. I am going to disobey, or I am going to do something that you say I should not do. Now, I'm going to give the same disclaimer that I gave last week. There is no way now in 10 minutes that I can exhaustively cover this subject. For some of you, I may even raise more questions than I try to answer. what I'm going to give are general principles that I think we do see in the Bible. Does the Bible, the big champion of submit to authority, I mean, what did Peter say? For Christ's sake, obey all powers. We're told to submit to this group and to submit to that group. But do the people in the Bible always do that? Let me remind you real quickly of a couple you may know. In Acts chapter 5, the Sanhedrin, the ruling council, were really upset about the early disciples causing all this problem in Jerusalem. And so they gathered them together and they said, Peter, John, Paul wasn't around yet, you guys are forbidden to talk about this Jesus anymore. And then you know what, do you remember what Peter said when he heard that? He said, I'm sorry, I'm glad that's your opinion, but I cannot cease to do this. I will continue to preach. And he disobeyed. Paul will later do the same thing. Paul will go at the end of Acts right into Jerusalem, and they will have told him, you cannot preach here. You cannot talk about Christ publicly. And he will publicly proclaim Christ and be arrested. Not just him, we can go back into the Old Testament and see cases. You remember a man named Daniel. And Daniel was one of the king's right-hand man, the Persian king Darius. But Daniel, living not even in Israel, he was over in what's today kind of Babylon area. But the king said, I'm going to come with a decree that nobody is allowed to pray to anybody but me. It's a law. And remember what Daniel did? He said, I'm sorry that's your law, but I'm not going to stop doing what I know to be right. And he went up and he opened the windows and bowed toward Jerusalem and prayed three times a day. And he got arrested and thrown into the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, similar story. They were told the law has been passed, the law of the king. It's a decree from the presidential office that you are to bow down and worship. And they said, we will not do it. And when that trumpet sounded and all the thousands bowed down, there's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So, civil disobedience or saying no to authority is not a concept that's not in the Bible. But what would be the grounds? Before I give you a couple things just to think about, let me do remind you of this though. Disobedience to authority should be the great exception, not the rule. As you hear these principles, if you think they're always applicable to your workroom, you and your supervisor, or you and your kids, or you and your mom, or you and your pastor, or you, then you're not understanding it. Because the principle is this, that we should, as followers of Christ, be people of submission. Be people who do not make strife. Be people who do not cause a lot of problems. Are there times we should? Yes. But it should be the exception, not the rule. If strife tends to follow you, then that's something you need to deal with, you and the Holy Spirit, because it should not be the rule in our lives. We should be peaceable people. What did Jesus say? The meek are going to inherit. Be peacemakers. That's what we want. And as peaceful as Jesus was, do you not remember the time, though, that he took a whip and he went into the temple and he upturned the tables and drove out the money changers? So even understand that the great Jesus of our faith was a lover of peace, was a meek man, but also knew there are times that you stand up and you cause a little trouble. Okay, let's quickly get to some of these. What are some of the things? Well, the first thing I think that Paul is even, he leaves off in this passage, I think, hinting at the point. And that is this. We can say no to authority when the human authority clearly and greatly contradicts God's authority. I'll say that again. I believe, and you don't have to believe with me, that it is all right to disregard human authority when it clearly and greatly contradicts God's authority. That's what happened with Daniel. That's what happened with Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. That's what happened with Peter and Paul. Was they said, we really don't want to cause problems. We're trying so dutifully to be model citizens. We are paying our taxes on time. We vote. We do all these good things. But you can't tell me that I can't preach Jesus, because God's law supersedes human law. Remember, Paul is appealing in Romans 13 when he gets to that last point, that good law, and in fact, is just stamping what is right moral law. That's why he says, if nothing else, appeal to your conscience. That should let you know you should obey authority. So he's understanding this, that right authority wants to do the right thing. Now, we know that's not always true. Governments don't always put down troublemakers and reward those that do good. Sometimes it's reverse. In our own nation, There have been times when good government was not enforced. That good government enslaved people. And it took people, even civil disobedience, to say this is wrong. Draw attention to this. We won't submit to this. This is not right. But in our lives, I think the first principle is this. Does it contradict clearly God's law? You say, well, does this really matter? It does. I've had sticky situations where a supervisor told me to lie. And I'm thinking, but God's law says I can't do that. And I'm stuck in this odd place of what to do. I remember clearly a couple of years back, my supervisor, someone called, and maybe this goes on all the time. Someone called, put him on hold, tell him I'm not here. Well, I'm thinking, but you are here. Now, I'm not saying I got on the phone and said, he's here, but he told me to tell you he's not here. No, I didn't do that. I can just say, sorry, can I take a message? But I'm not going to do something that my understanding of God says is wrong for human authority. I could dwell more on that, but I really don't have the time. I think through life we've seen that. I don't know if any of you remember one of my favorite characters when I was young, Corrie ten Boom. The book, The Hiding Place, in the movie. It was a case of civil disobedience. She was living, I believe, in Harlem, Holland. And they said, you must turn over the Jews. We want to know who they are. And her family made a little secret hiding place in their home to take care of Jews and protect them. That was a case where saying, but wait a minute. God's law says we're not to just hand over people to be murdered and killed. We are going to disobey law for a higher law. God's authority. Two, I would say you're willing to look at saying no to not submitting when you are ready and able to release yourself from the responsibility and care of that authority. I'll say that again. You may have a little more right to say, I'm going to say no, I'm going to disobey, I'm going to go the opposite direction from your authority when you are able and ready to release yourself from the responsibility to and the care of. What do I mean by that? Again, these are principles. I know already you're trying to argue that point in your mind. I mean this. We don't want to be troublemakers. If you are at a work situation and you are repeatedly finding yourselves in an ethical problem and that you're, I don't want it, I can't do that, then maybe you need to release yourself from that situation. Maybe you need to not stay there for the next 2 years. Well, I have tenure. Well, my union will come and fight you, and I'm not going to do that. You're not giving a good testimony as a cause of Christ. Abraham came to a point where he realized, you know what? I don't believe like the rest of the people around me that there are many gods. I'm going to believe in one true God. And he left and went on his own. And I think that model is many times in our life, if you find yourself in a situation where submission is constantly a problem to you, for right reason even, then maybe that's a sign that you need to think, do I need to release myself from this relationship? Because this authority structure is not working. I do not believe God calls us for long term to be in a situation that is filled with a lot of strife. If you can get out of it. Does that mean that if I can't get out of it, I shouldn't? Go back to the first thing we talked about. Is it the battle worth fighting? Is this really an ethical situation? Is this something where you are disregarding God's law, or you just don't like their style of leadership? We have, I have to be careful because I have a couple teachers that listen to my webcast, but they do because they report back to me things I said. But I've really wrestled with this over the last year. We have a brand new administration. I mean, almost all the top spots at our school are brand new. And truly, I'm very grateful. They're coming in with so many great things. But wow, if you've ever sat under new leadership that's just like changing everything and have those discussions you're not a part of and it's affecting your department or your... And I've been so many times in the office wanting to go, what were you thinking? But, you know, you have to do it in a different way. And there have been times I literally have wanted to leave an office and scream because they wouldn't even listen. No, we've already said, but can I? No, we're not going to. But could you at least? No. And I've had to walk away, but you know what? As a child of Christ, I'm called to submit. They're my authority. I may think they're wrong. I may think the decision was rash, but it's not asking me to do something that's wrong. It's not contradicting God's law. It's a style thing. I have to learn to say, okay, that's fine. Then not only will I accept it, I'm going to accept it and roll with it as though I approve of this because I submit. If I'm not willing to do that and not able to do that, then I need to remove myself from that leadership. Three, I think we can't really look at the idea of saying no or civil disobedience or bucking against authority until you are able and ready to live up to the consequences. You say, that's a little different than the last one. You need to understand that if you say no, and you feel you're in the right in saying no, then you need to feel like you also are going to have the ability to take the consequences. We seem to not understand something in society that you have the right to do certain things. That doesn't mean you're going to escape consequences from them. I deal with this with my students all the time. When they say, well, I have the right. Yes, you have the right to do that. You have the right to miss many days of school. You're going to face the consequences that you're way behind and good luck in catching up. That you had the right to be gone does not mean you have the right to continue to get a good grade for work you didn't do. You may have the right to say, I'm not going to submit. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to answer that. I'm not going to. But then you need to be ready to live up to the consequences and not be like, oh, I didn't know. No. I see this even in religion because I see this some in our society. We are at the, and the more that society becomes secular, the more that religion and society are going to be in tension together. And I begin to see the signs of religious people saying, but we're following our God-given, our religion, and we're doing what we believe is right, and the government has no right to impose that upon us. That's not necessarily true. You have the right to practice your religion. If it brings consequences in civil society, then that is part of the price that you will pay as a person of faith. But it's not society's role, I don't think, to look at every dissenter, every group that has something they believe to be different and say, and I will respect all of that. At some point, if you're willing to stand up and say, I think this is wrong, I won't do it, then there's a penalty to pay. I remember as a young child, it was May Day. And at our school, they were having the dance where you get the crepe paper and you run around the pole and sing a song. In our family, my dad is a pastor, we didn't believe in dancing. So I had to take a note to school and say, we're Christian people, we don't dance. I know, it's kind of silly, huh? So I sat there like the Jehovah's Witness girl, and we watched the dance go on. We did, her and I. And yet, so I knew she wasn't on my team either, so we weren't talking, you know, because she was different than we were, and that's how we were raised. But the idea I learned real early in life, but that I can't expect, well, that's not fair. Hey, if you're going to stand up for what your personal beliefs are, then you be ready to be the one that's called out and that other people may not understand. Be ready to live up to the consequences of saying no. Time is gone, so let me just give you a couple other quick things. One, make sure that if you're going to say no, justice, integrity, and the right are your only motivation. Not vengeance, not pride, not being obstinate, not proving a point. That's not the time to say no. If you can say no to the authority, whether that's to your boss, in a relationship, in a church setting, in a organization you belong to, if you can stand up, make sure that you're saying no, because truly, it's the honorable thing to do. It is the right thing to do. You're talking about an issue of justice, of right or wrong. Not to defend yourself, not to show them that you knew better, not for personal reasons, because that's the kind of stuff that Christ asks you to lay down and take on the cheek. If you're not sure of your motive yet, then don't do it. Wait until it becomes clear. Because bucking up against authority is a dangerous thing. God has ordained authority in your life. You want to see tremendous things happen in your life? Learn to submit to authority. Anyone who's been a supervisor, a teacher, a head of something will tell you that the people who really knew how to submit are the people that found themselves ingratiated with the leadership and got favor. Because submission is a powerful thing. You want to be someone that bucks. Be careful. So be sure that if we do it, it's done for the right reasons that honor God and not to honor ourselves. Sorry that is so quick, and there's so much else I had planned on saying that, but our time really is gone. Let's bow our heads.